The night that Jesus was born, you know, a little while ago we sang, what a nice, silent, peaceful night it was. And the night Jesus was born, I was not silent and I was not peaceful. But let me start the story at the beginning. Hi everyone, I'm Benjamin.
Hi Benjamin!
Thank you. And I was born and raised in Nazareth a long, long time ago, and I worked for Mary's family. One day, at the end of the day, I was done with my work, and my work was often taking things, hauling things around for people, sometimes just carrying it, sometimes taking a cart or whatever, but I worked for their family. At the end of the day, one day, I saw a bright light and heard voices over there beyond the barn. And, you know, I thought to myself, aha, bright light, voices, could mean nothing else than a bonfire and a party. And even though I wasn't family, I thought, I'll just mosey on over there. Maybe they'll kind of tolerate me, invite me in. Maybe they'll give me some of those honey cakes or something. This is going to be great. So I walked on over to the edge of the barn and I peeked around and, oh my, there was no bonfire. There weren't a bunch of people. There were just two people, Mary and an angel. And I knew right off the bat he was an angel because he was the source of what I thought was the bonfire. He was glowing. And being, it's kind of scary, but being more curious than afraid, more curious than fearful, like some of my cousins, I thought, I'm going to walk over there and join this conversation. And I did. And what I'd missed in the conversation, Mary told me later, was that this angel had suddenly greeted her, you know, greetings, Mary, you know, I don't memorize scripture very well, but, you know, greetings, Mary, most favored of all women. And she thought that was kind of a peculiar greeting. And yeah, I thought so too, since Mary was just an average, everyday person. I liked her a lot, but just an average person. Anyway, he went on talking while I was there, and he told her, Mary, you are going to have God's son. And you were, he's going to be great, and he's going to bring peace and be the savior of the world. He's going to be the Messiah. And I think Mary got stuck on the part where he said, you're going to have a baby. And she's kind of, well, wait a minute. I'm a virgin, and I'm pledged to be married to Joseph and all. And the angel, he was very reassuring. He said, it'll be okay, Mary. Yep, I know you're a virgin. It's going to work out. You're going to get married to Joseph and all, but you're also going to have God's baby. And he went on and said lots of other reassuring things. And the last, most reassuring thing he said, really surprising, was that her cousin Elizabeth, I remembered Elizabeth, they'd talked about her for years, her barren cousin Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant. Wow, that was startling news. And Mary then, oh bless her heart, you know, she'd heard enough, she was convinced, she said, you know, I'm the Lord's servant, and be it unto me as you say, or whatever. King James puts it kind of pretty, but like I said, I'm not good at memorizing. Anyway, and then the angel just kind of smiled, and he was gone. That was kind of startling, too. Well, Mary was more impressed by what was said than I was, because next morning I barely finished my breakfast and out comes Mary. She is all packed and she's ready to help get me packed as well. And she said, Benjamin, I talked to the family last night. I told them a little bit about what the angel said. I said, I want to go see Elizabeth. They said, if I went with her, it'd be okay. So pretty soon we hit the road. And she kept us going at a pretty good pace, let me tell you. Now, it's a long ways from Nazareth to the hill country of Judea. I'm not even sure which town Zechariah and Elizabeth live in, but Mary was keeping track of the map and stuff. When we finally got there, it was several days. You know, Mary greeted, "Hey, Elizabeth!" And Elizabeth came out, and all of a sudden it was like I got to see a play for free, because Elizabeth comes out and she gives a little kind of jump and stuff, and she starts in this speech like she'd been practicing for weeks. She said, "You know, why, how is it that the mother of my Lord has come to see me, and the babe in my womb leaped at the sound of your voice?" And oh, it was beautiful. Like somebody had taken time to write it out and plan it. And Elizabeth didn't hardly finish her speech when Mary took off in a speech. And she's talking about how everybody's going to call her blessed and how wonderful it is. And I just got excited in the moment too. And when they were done, I just said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah." And the ladies, they looked at me and laughed. We were there quite some time, about 3 whole months. And you know, when we got there, Elizabeth was showing, and she got bigger and bigger. And towards the end, she was saying, "Why did I ever want a baby anyway? John better hurry up." And I started to notice some changes in Mary as well. You know, and Mary decided, "Well, it's time, we better go back." You know how I said we went rather quickly going to Bethlehem, the hill country of Judea? Like I said, I don't remember which city it was. It might have been Hebron. Well, going back home to Nazareth, Mary was thoughtful. And we were walking kind of slow. We weren't making much progress. It took some extra days to get home. Finally, we get home and everybody's excited. "Oh, Mary's back! Bartholomew's, Benjamin's back, and everybody's, you know, how wonderful this is." But Mary's kind of, "Yeah, hi." And it was kind of like a wet blanket too. And so, anyway, a few days later, I think Joseph figured everything out. Because I at the end of the workday again, and Joseph had worked all day doing his carpentry work or whatever, and they were out in the fields, and I heard them arguing. And Joseph was saying, "You know, I thought you were the best girl in town. I thought you were faithful, and look at you." And I didn't like it. To tell the truth, I yelled at him more than once. He didn't pay me much mind. And he just got more mad. He kind of stomped his feet and he said, "You know, I should just drag you downtown and denounce you." And he said, "Maybe I shouldn't quietly divorce you. I should just divorce you rather publicly and see how you like that." And then I got really mad. I got so mad I just wanted to bite him. Or maybe turn around and give him a swift kick or something. And Mary just kind of held on to me and said, "Go home, Joseph. See you tomorrow." And that night I thought, "Oh, what I'm going to do to him when he comes back." I was so mad at him. He came back bright and early the next morning, and he's all apologetic and happy and nice. And he says, "Mary, Mary, oh, I'm so sorry I doubted you. An angel visited me in my dreams, and what you said all was true, and we're going to get married, and why don't we get married at the end of the week?" What a relief. And they did get married pretty soon, and life might have settled down wonderfully for them. Might have been perfect and peaceful, except for that edict. That Caesar Augustus put out that edict that everybody had to take part in his census and go to their ancestral home to register. Now, if we had left right when the edict came out, I bet we could have got to Bethlehem and back, because Joseph was a descendant of David, and that was where he had to register. I bet we could have got there and back before Mary had any danger of having this baby. But oh no, Joseph didn't want to go. He talked to his friend Simeon. He said, "Simeon, get me out of this. Isn't there some injunction or some petition or something we can do?" And his friend Simeon started working on it and working on it. And finally, it's been quite a while, his friend Simeon comes to him and says, "I can't fix this. You're going to have to go. You and your wife are going to have to go to Bethlehem And you better hurry up and go before you get in trouble with the Romans. So here we are at the last minute. We're hitting the road, and it's an 8-10 day walk from Nazareth to Bethlehem. And, you know, Joseph's trying to go as fast as he can so he doesn't get in trouble. And I'm worried about Mary, and I'm trying to slow us down, and I'm complaining to Joseph. Come on, Mary can't keep up this pace. So then, the eighth day, about noon that day, Mary started having contractions. I knew she was having contractions because every time she had one, her whole body would kind of jerk. And it just gave me shivers all up and down my spine. I'm going, come on, Joseph, let's turn in somewhere. And while there's still time. But no, Joseph wanted to keep going. He wanted to get to Bethlehem by the end of the day. And I was terrified that this baby was just going to come. And Joseph was going to have to, we were going to have to turn off the road somewhere. And Mary'd have her baby behind a rock, behind a tree, or under a bush. And out exposed forever, all the onlookers, all the passerbys to see. And I just couldn't stand that for my Mary. So we finally get to Jerusalem, to Bethlehem, and it's getting dark. And we go to the first inn, and of course they say, sorry, no room, wish you'd come sooner. We get to the next inn, no room, wish you'd come sooner. Get to the third inn, what'd they say? Yeah, wish you'd come sooner. We'll make it all the way down Main Street. There's one inn left. If we don't get to stay there, it's a long ways to the next town. Sure enough, we talk to the innkeeper there, and he says, I'm sorry, no room, I wish you'd talk to me sooner, and I lost it. I was not peaceful, I was not calm, patient, I just lost it. And I ran around a bit, I said, people, Mary needs a shelter, Mary needs to lie down. And they just weren't getting it. And I took a look at the innkeeper and I thought, there's got to be some intelligence there. I thought, maybe if I speak as slowly and as loud as possible, he'll understand me. So I walked right up to him, I looked him in the eye, and I said, Mary needs shelter. And he looked at me. Everybody was looking at me, but he kept eye contact with me. He said, I got a barn over there. If you don't mind bedding down with my animals and take your animal too, you can stay there tonight and we'll figure out something better tomorrow. So that's what we did. We were in that barn very quickly, and you know, Joseph got Mary bedded down and we unpacked a little. Joseph put some food out for me, and it was just in the nick of time, because little baby Jesus, he was coming serious at that point, and I just tried to eat my supper and not look at them. I didn't want to embarrass Mary, you know. Just kind of eat, and nothing's going on here, you know, and stuff. And pretty soon, she had her little baby, and just like any Jenny, she cleaned him up as best she could, and then she wrapped him in swaddling clothes like they did then. And she lay him in the manger. I didn't mind. I was done with my supper. He looked kind of cute there anyway. And then I thought we were going to have that silent, peaceful night. And we all settled down. But about an hour into our sleep, a bunch of shepherds came. Of course, I heard them first, and I kind of coughed and made some noise to alert the others that people were coming. And they kind of peeked in, and you know, one or two, and then there in the end there were 15 or 20. And you know, they had seen an angel too. One angel had come and announced to them that the Messiah, the Christ, was born that night. They should go see him in the city of David in Bethlehem, and they'd find him in a manger, in a feed trough, that is. So they came into town, and nobody really thinks much of shepherds. They didn't want to get yelled at for stealing or whatever, so they came creeping into town, peeking into people's barns, and looking for a feed trough that had a baby in it. And when they found us, you know, they, oh, thank goodness. And they worshiped the baby, and then they told about the angel story and about all the other angels. And I am so glad that God sent the angel to talk to those shepherds, because Joseph, I mean, he didn't see Mary in the daytime when he was awake. He didn't see the angel when he was awake, like Mary and I did. He saw the angel in his dream. And over time, he might have wondered whether that was real or not. But here, when 15 or 20 guys come with a message from an angel, that was pretty convincing. I am so glad that that happened. And then they left, and we did have our peaceful, silent night. Today's Christmas, I have two questions for you. Did you ever let Jesus be born in your heart? For Jesus to be born in that Bethlehem stable, I didn't need to have all that crisis of fright and terror. I didn't know that God would work it all out. Joseph, he had a crisis of faith. He didn't believe his wife. He didn't believe the scriptures. And God gave him that little extra nudge with those angels. He got over that crisis. And Mary had a crisis of, this is what God wants to do. Are you willing? Of course, I don't know what would have happened if she'd have said no. The Holy Spirit, he can be pretty persistent. Maybe he'd have asked again and again, and eventually she'd have said, yeah, okay. But she had a crisis of faith. It doesn't seem like much of a crisis, because so quickly she said, I'm the Lord's hand servant, you know, be it unto me as you say. Have you ever let the baby Jesus in your heart? If you did, you know, maybe you had to go through a crisis. If you don't, maybe you'll have to go through a crisis of faith or something. But the second question is he still just your little baby in the manger? Take him out every now and then. Here's my little Christ baby that's in my heart. Then you put him back and go on about your life? Or did you let him grow up to be your Lord and Savior? Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.